as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Glad that you've taken the time to come and worship with us, those who are visiting, and always good to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to have a short lesson this morning, in my opinion, but it's a very important lesson. We're going to talk about a warning, a very important warning that perhaps we don't pay enough attention to. A warning that I want to suggest perhaps we become our own worst enemy. And that's really sad when that occurs. So I'm glad that you're here, that we can study that warning, that you go home and examine those things to be so, and if there needs to be application in their life, which I believe there will be, an application in my life, which I believe there will be, that will make those applications so that we do not succumb to the temptations of the devil. Now I want to ask you the question. When I ask a question, not expecting your verbal response. What do you think the warning might be? Well, it could be a lot of things, couldn't it? But let's go and find out completely. Our warning is battle against the lust of the flesh. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. That's the warning. That as Christians, the battle continues till we put off our bodies of flesh. And one of the things that time goes on, especially as time goes on in your life in Christ, perhaps we fail to consider how important this warning is. The New King James Version in 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now there's a couple of things we note from this. He speaks beloved. So he's talking to those who are in Christ. So the warning is to those of us who are Christians. Now, what about the world? Well, they consume the fleshly lust. We have to abstain from fleshly lust. The English Standard Version puts it this way. "Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Now, before we go on, let's consider this question. Is that still a warning for us today? Do we still have to be careful about the fleshly lust which war against the soul? How important is that? Is that really that important? Well, I thought you might ask that, so let's go to this. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, we have recorded for us there, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So we're talking about life and death, are we not? And we're not talking about physical life and death. We're talking about eternal life and death. If I keep on going and consume the things of the flesh, I'm going to die. But if by the Spirit I live, I'm going to have eternal life. But now the question comes to my mind as I look at this lesson, this warning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, when it speaks about the works of the flesh. So let's have God's word define, not an exhaustive list, but define some of the works of the flesh that we have to watch out for. That'd be good for us to remember that. Oftentimes we see these words and we don't expound upon them further. So we're going to expound a little bit further on the works of the flesh. And doing that, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. As it's talking about the works of the flesh here in chapter 5, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." And that's what you want to notice at the end, "and the like." In other words, it's not an exhaustive list. But if we want to kind of embrace in our mind as we talk about the works of the flesh, we have a list for us to consider here, but it's not limited to those things. Now, usually as we think of the works of the flesh, we home in more often than not on the first few, the adultery, fornication, and lewdness. And of course, we need to focus on that because we have a lot of problems with that today, do we not? We have a lot of problems with the sexual sins that are going on in our society that is kind of embraced. But I think we do that to the extent that we forget about some of the other things in that list. So again, we're not going to do each word, but as I look at some of the other things in that list, did you notice in verse 20, hatred? Hatred. Is there hatred sometimes amongst Christians? There shouldn't be, but could there be hatred amongst Christians? As we look at the list, how about jealousies? There are times Christians possibly are jealous of circumstances or one another. Who knows what the jealousy, but are there jealousies? We go back to the Old Testament. Were there jealousies back then against with respect to God's people? And the answer is, even Moses' brother and sister had jealousies against Moses. Watch out for that. Then we go from outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. You see, those are in the same list, the exactly same list as fornication and adultery. Now, maybe you don't put that there, but does God put that there? And he does. So when we talk about not submitting to the works of the flesh, and you pat yourself on the back because you're not doing those sexual sins, which you shouldn't be doing those sexual sins, but it doesn't stop at those sexual sins. And this is not exhaustive, and the like. In other words, other things similar to that. Remember, we are told as we started out to abstain from fleshly lust which war against our soul. Again, do we have outbursts of wrath? You ever get so mad you have outbursts of wrath? I've seen that happen in the Lord's church sometimes, haven't you? We have to watch out for those things. That's a fleshly lust. But let's go on to another. When we talk about fleshly lust, turn with me, if you will, to the book of James. In James chapter 4, and I like this one as we look at this topic. In verses 1 through 4 of James chapter 4, it states this, New King James Version. Where do wars and fights from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world will make himself an enemy of God. We often look at verse 4, we don't want to be enemies of God. But let's not forget verses 1, 2, 3. And verse 1, here's what led to these wars, and I don't believe necessarily this is talking about physical wars, but internal strife amongst the Lord's people. But really, if you look at these four verses, internal strife within yourself. Now, the reason I say that, I read that from the New King James Version. I'm going to read the English Standard Version, just a few verses. In the English Standard Version, verse 1, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? I like that last phrase. Your passions are at war within you. Your internal fleshly lusts are battling against knowing what's right. Okay? All right, again, as we look at the English Standard Version, and James 4 in verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Brethren, do we sometimes have a problem with that? And if you say no, praise God for you. But I want to suggest that's something we probably all have to work on sometimes. That our passions, our fleshly desires, battle with our spiritual knowing what's right and wrong. And when we allow those passions to overcome us, then we're not abstaining from the lust of the flesh. We're abiding by the lust of the flesh. Daryl brought forth this morning in class, Corinthians, that was their passions of flesh. If they just simply followed the truth, they wouldn't have had some of those problems, correct? Same thing today. The passions of flesh is going to lead us the wrong way if we don't abstain. I'd like to tell you that after you are baptized, you no longer have fleshly lust, but that's not what it says. He's writing to Christians. I'd like to tell you that after 50 years of serving Christ, you no longer have lust of the flesh. That's not true. Going to be different lusts of the flesh, but you're going to have the lusts of the flesh. You're going to have to battle them. What I'm telling you, I don't care what age you are, this is something you and I have to battle, the lust of the flesh. And it's not something that we should take lightly. Again, let's go to one more illustration, and that's Corinth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, writing again to the Corinthians as we're studying on Sunday morning, and verses 20 and 21. Paul states this as he's drawing his letter to a close. For I fear when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be. Now notice, I want to stop before I read this list. Who's he addressing here? He's addressing Christians. He's not addressing those of the world. He's addressing God's children. He goes on to state on there, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. Who wants to be a part of that congregation? But who's he talking to? Christians. What's he warning? He said, you don't want me to come and find you like this. You don't want to be found like this. What are they not doing? They're not doing what it told us to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Backbiting and whisperings. I'll tell you one of the biggest problems amongst the Lord's people. It's called gossip. Gossip. Not someone say, well, why did Chuck bring that up? Well, if you're worried about that, maybe you need to be. I'm not saying it because I know of anybody doing gossiping, but do people gossip? You know how we know that happens? I shouldn't be telling you this, then don't. That's the simple way to stop gossip. I shouldn't be telling you this, right? You hear brethren talk like this. Well, I really shouldn't. Well, then don't. Gossip has harmed a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Whisperings. That goes along with gossip. That's kind of like patting someone on the back when you see them and stabbing them in the back when you're not with them. We're talking about Christians here. Got to watch out for that. Well, why would we even do those two things? Jealousies. People become jealous, don't they? You know, it's easy for me to look about and point out flaws in others. What about some of your flaws? What about some of my flaws? And if you don't think you don't have any, that's flaw number one. You've missed the point, haven't you? The point is this, brethren, we better take this seriously. As we studied in Revelation, we can be doctrinally correct and go to hell. Now, I'm not minimizing how important it is to be doctrinally correct. But we have to warn against fleshly lusts, that battle against our soul. And if you say you have no battles along those lines, you've already have been defeated because you don't recognize it. Now, as you go to the next verse, verse 21, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many whom have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness. Now we've got the fornication here. I believe it was talking perhaps literal fornication and lewdness, which they have practiced. Let me ask you something. Again, answered in your brain. What have you been working on to give up so you can be a better Christian? Not what about the person who's sitting next to me, or not about the person sitting behind me. What are you working on? What are you personally working on to be a better child of God on some of those fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Now, it's easy to identify the problem. We could spend another 20 minutes identifying the problem. I think you're clear. My fleshly desires can go astray from doing that which is right. So really where I want to spend the rest of the time on is how do I win? How do I abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul? It's always easy to identify a problem. You want to identify problems, just go to talk shows, not talk shows, public talk shows, but news. Our newscasts show all the problems. I'm going to show you some of the solutions. Now, the fleshly lust which war against the soul can lead you or I to hell. Here's the solution. We need to overcome the lust of the flesh, and how do we do that? By living according to the Spirit. Go back to Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What did we start out with? Well, we started out with, in the book of Peter, 1 Peter 2:11, fleshly lust which war against the soul. Whose soul? Your soul. Whose soul? My soul. How do we overcome that? I need to walk in the Spirit. Now, of course, walk in the Spirit there is talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit? The Spirit doesn't mystically overwhelm me. The Spirit works through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're going to see how that's accomplished as we look at this point. So as I walk in the Spirit, let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Here we have recorded, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Okay, first thing, desire. Desire for what? The word, but more specifically, the pure milk of the word. Again, you can go to Books-A-Million. I guess that's the only bookstore that's out anymore. And you can go to the religious section, and they got plenty of books there. And there's some things that are good, but there's a lot of things that are bad. So it's not just go get a religious book and that's going to help you, because that religious book may or may not be teaching you that which is right. Is that not so? Including some of our brethren. Be careful there. It says, as you look at verse 2, desire the pure milk. In other words, unadulterated. Just like you don't want to serve your newborn baby unadulterated milk, you don't want to feed on the adulterated milk of the word. How is it adulterated? By the doctrines and teachings of men, by opinions. So you want to go to the pure milk of the word. But it starts out with desire. Now, if you don't have desire, there's problem one. Problem one, you're not going to learn of the lust of the flesh because you're lacking desire. Take a physical infant. If a physical infant does not desire to be fed, is there a problem there? Yeah. If you as a child of God don't desire the word, there's a problem there. But let's go on. And Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. We have recorded for us here in Scriptures, beginning in verse 5. It goes on and states this, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, see verse 6, because of these things, that goes back to verse 5, doesn't it? And verse 5 starts talking about the list of sins. The wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked. Once walked how? Back to verse 5. At one time, you walked this way when you lived in them. Here's the key. Verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves to put off. In other words, you walked in that. You've quit walking that way, but you're not done yet. That's basically what it's saying, right? You walked that way, but you're not done yet. As you go in verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Look at what comes up again. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth? Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we started out. I want you to remember 1 Peter 2:11. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Number one, can those fleshly lusts war against my soul? Yes. Do they war against my soul? Yes. How do I overcome them? Well, I overcome them by taking the teachings of the Word of God and making them a part of our life. Now, as we look at this, we need to, you don't stop. You're not to the point to say, I'm on the pinnacle. Because when you think you're on the pinnacle, you're going the wrong direction. You got to keep on moving forward. Now, I'm not advocating you to do this, but remember as a kid, one of the things you had to do when you went into the mall, there's not many of them left, but they had a lot of malls when I was growing up. When you went to the mall, it was always a challenge to walk up the down escalator. Right? Kids like to do that. I had done it many times as a kid. And you can do it, but you got to keep on moving. Well, understand this. You're walking towards heaven, but you got to keep on walking. Otherwise, the lust of the flesh brings you down. You see my point? So you got to watch out. Now, look at this as we talk about Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 10. The key is in verse 10. If you go back to verse 10, and have put on the new man. How am I going to overcome the lust of the flesh? I've got to put on the new man. You say, I did when I was baptized. Yeah, that's how you initially put on the new man. But you got to keep on doing it. You got to keep on. I don't care if you've been in Christ for 40 years. I believe you can lose your soul if you're not living right. I don't care if you've been in attendance of the Lord's church religiously for 50 years. It's not just limited to what we do here. It's how we live our lives daily. Now, don't misunderstand. We need to be with one another. But don't think simply because you've darkened the doors of this building that God gave you a stamp of approval. It's how you live. It's how I live. Sometimes when my son would hear me, he said, Dad, you're trying to fire yourself. No, I'm not trying to fire. But I want us to wake up. Every one of us in this audience needs to be concerned about this. I don't care how long you've been in Christ. The lust of the flesh which war against the soul. Key, the new man is renewed in knowledge, Colossians 3:10. Well, then we found that, but let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Now we're talking about study again. I don't know what your study habits are. I am not going to have the authority to tell you what your study habits should be. But I am going to tell you this. If you're not studying God's Word daily, you're falling short. Now, I have a way of studying which may not be conducive to the way you study. And we both could be studying properly. But you got to study. You got to grow. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What's he want them to be? Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Do you see that in verse 9? Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, how you go about that, that's up to you. How I go about that, that's up to me. I want to stop at verse 9. Years ago, when I preached in Minnesota, we had a weekly ministry in the local federal prison in Sandstone, Minnesota. And I'll never forget to this day, one of the first times I walked in there and studying with the inmates, some visitor came in and he said, Preacher, how many times do you read the Bible through each year? Good question. I said, well, quite frankly, I don't read the Bible through each year. I've studied different topics. I study the Bible thoroughly, but I don't read from Genesis to Revelation. Nothing wrong with doing that. But here's the point. Listen to me carefully. There's a big difference from reading and studying. Because he told me, I read the Bible through at least 2 times a year. Praise God. You know what my next question to him was? What did you learn? What did you learn that made your life better? You see, there's a difference there. So when we talk about study, it's your choice on how you want to do it. But you need to do it. In verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. How you go about it is up to you. But are you doing it? That's the question. As I study for Revelation in the Revelation class, I spend hours in that, but I don't spend hours consistently. My brain gets tired, and I walk away from it. And then when my brain kind of rejuvenates, I go back and go it again. Now, some of you are much better. I had a preacher friend who could have intensive study on a specific topic for hours and hours. I'm impressed. I can't do it that way. I have taken bits and pieces, but you know what? I gained the knowledge. So when I talk about study, the point I want to remind you is you got to do it. I'm not going to tell you how, but you've got to do it. But let's go on. Because in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, verse 16, I'm sorry, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. And then it talks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, how's it going to dwell in me richly? It's not going to come automatically. It's not even going to come by just the few minutes we're here today. If that's all you get, it's not going to be dwelling in you richly. You might have bits and pieces of the word, but it's not dwelling in you richly. So we do all these things. Now, why are we doing this? Because we battle against the fleshly lust, abstain from fleshly lust. How do I abstain from fleshly lust? Well, I follow the teachings of the Spirit. Where are the teachings of? Now, this is not the Holy Spirit, but the teachings of the Spirit are here. The point is this. It's none of my business what you do during the week. But if your Bibles are closed, if you haven't developed some kind of habit for developing yourself spiritually, you're probably being overcome by fleshly lusts. Whether it be jealousies, whether it be whisperings, whether it be something other than that. And that, my friend, is simply a fact. Simply a fact. And then we do all that so that we can be transformed. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Don't take this lightly. And it's funny, because when I was 15, 20 years earlier, man, could I quote the scriptures. And I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I could quote a lot of scriptures. Now I'm always fearful whether I'm quoting a scripture properly, because my mind have boggled all those scriptures together, and I quote a half of one and a half another. That's why I go back to it. The point I'm trying to say, I have not lost knowing what God's word has to say, but if I have lost maybe how to quote it profusely. But that's not the problem. The problem is not quoting. The problem is living. The problem is living the scriptures. And see, that's why we have to study. That's why we have to go to God's word. That's how we overcome the battle of the flesh. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, it goes on to state, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice, by the renewing of your mind. Now think about this, by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that we can overcome fleshly lust. How is that done? By going to God's word. By the renewing of your mind, by going to God's word. That's how I know between... Because again, when we talk about fleshly lust, who defines what a fleshly lust is? Well, God does. Because our society kind of changes things around all the time, do they not? But we've got God's pattern here on fleshly lust. So I have to know what God says about fleshly lust, and then I have to renew my mind so I don't get caught up in those fleshly lusts. But let's go on. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, battling fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I know you get tired of my illustrations on the driving. And my wife has, as I told you, my wife has convinced me I am no longer a good driver either, but nevertheless. But that's one of the areas I have to watch out for fleshly lust. It really is. Because as I look in my rearview mirror, I think it's a pattern for Florida that you have to tailgate. You get on I-4, and I don't care what speed you're going, and I'm not suggesting going over the speed limit, there'll be someone tailgating you. And my problem is, when I look in my rearview mirror and someone's tailgating me, I've got to remind myself, forget about it, just keep on driving. But if I don't forget about it, I get more and more aggravated. Why are you doing that? The roads aren't that crowded. I'm not going fast enough for you. I'm in the outside lane. Pass me up. But no, they want to get as close to me as possible. And I'm not against those who own trucks, because I've always wanted to own a truck. Now it's out of my price range, and I'm not crying poor mouth, but it is. But it seems some of the biggest predators of tailgating are these big trucks. They want to swallow me up. And I have to watch my attitude. And when I don't, my wife is watching my attitude. And that's over something simple and silly. I'm just trying to tell you, we have to watch out. We have to be filled with the knowledge of God's word. Sue will often quote me a passage. And you know, that's the last moment I want a passage quoted to me. But she's right. She's right. I hate to say it again. Yesterday she saved me from another accident. She's now taking a tally how many times she saved me from accidents. I'm becoming like, the younger people won't know this, but those of us who are older, I'm becoming like Mr. Magoo. I'm not looking at the surround, and I started backing up, and Chuck scared me to death. But I'm glad she's watching out for me. Now, I say that to say this. God is watching out for you through his word. You get the point? He's watching out for you through his word. He don't want you to be consumed by fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 1 Peter 4 says this. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men. You're still living, but now you've got a new change. You're not living to the lusts of the flesh. But, look at verse 2, for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they are those in verse 3 who are still doing those things. They think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Now, I like verse 4. Normally, I don't like this version, but I like this one on this case. And verse 4, the NIV, New International Version, says, instead of speaking evil of you, you do not join them in their reckless, wild living. Why? Because you know that's not in harmony. You're now living for the will of God. You don't join them in their wild, reckless living. Right? That's because you're abstaining from the lust of the flesh. You ever hear people talk about sowing your wild oats? Just remember, there's lasting effects of those wild oats. Lasting effects of those wild oats. So the point is, try to avoid the wild oats. Because the more you have them, the more effects you have, the more you have to live with. As we go on, one more passage here, Romans 13. Again, You're in the battle. And this is not a battle you get to choose to be involved in or not. If you're a child of God, you are in the battle. Now you say, I'm in no battle. You've already lost the battle then. You already lost. In Romans 13, verses 12 through 14, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Now how do we put on the armor of light? Through the knowledge and application of God's word. See, it goes back to that, doesn't it? Through the knowledge and application of God's word. Remember, we are to walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As we go on in Romans, we see this. It says, now, the night is far spent, verse 12, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Oh, notice who's doing the casting off. You are. Cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us, verse 13, walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh. Now, it doesn't say make no provision for the flesh, period, because you have to eat. You have to clothe yourself. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Do we have to watch out for the lust of the flesh? Till when? Till I put off my body of flesh. Are you doing that? Are you understanding how serious that is? I hope so. I need to remind myself how serious that is. So I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're doing a lot of things that are good and biblically. That's what we need to be doing. But I want you to think seriously on what you need to improve. Not in the person sitting next to you, not in the person behind you, but what you need to improve in your life. And if you walk out of this building this morning and have concluded in your mind, I need no improvement, I hope a yellow light is flashing in your brain. Because all of us need improvement as we battle the lust of the flesh. As we close this morning, before we sing the song, in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, we might put the word worldly, minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And peace. Are you overcoming the lust of the flesh? Are you spiritually minded? And it's not saying, I feel I'm spiritually minded. If this book stays closed all week, I don't mind to be rude, but may I suggest, then you're not being spiritually minded. Because I don't think anybody in this audience has memorized it completely and lived it completely. We need to follow it daily to be spiritually minded. So that I don't become overcome with the lusts of the flesh. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we would hope and pray that you do that which is biblically right, and that is to repent of your sins and being baptized. Now, we did not spend time on that this morning, so if you don't understand that, I don't want you doing something that you're not aware of. We believe that the Bible clearly teaches on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that when they were told, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, they were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. So it's by water baptism, immersed. That water baptism puts you into contact with the blood of Christ. That's what saves us, the blood of Christ. But to come into contact with that blood, I have to be baptized in water. And then in 1 John, I need to walk in the light as he is in the light. And guess what? The blood of Christ. Guess how I'm going to get to heaven? The blood of Christ. But I've got to make it my point to live in harmony with his will, so I have his blood covering me. And how is that? By not walking according to the lust of the flesh. If you're subject to the gospel call, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
For Jesus, oh my brother, is Lord, have mercy. Live for Jesus.
remain standing. We'll be led in a closing prayer and we'll be dismissed. And if you can, be back tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service. So we'll have the prayer at this time.
Our Lord, our Savior, we thank you for this time we've had to study thy word, and we ask that we apply it to our lives and live better lives because of it. We ask that you be with everyone that's here today, that you bless them and help them to live a better life because of the word preached today. We thank you that you are our Lord, and that Jesus came upon this earth and gave his life so that one day we could be with him in glory. We ask that you bless all those who are sick. If it's thy will, bring them back to the much wanted health. Ask you to be with those who are troubled, and may something be said to help them. Always guide us, always keep us. And at last, if we've been found faithful, give us a home with thee forever. For we ask in thy precious name. Amen.